Pascal Abidor is a graduate student in Islamic studies at McGill. He is also the abidor of Abidor v. Napolitano, a case suing Janet Napolitano, director of the Department of Homeland Security in the United States. The story of how Pascal Abidor came to sue the Department of Homeland Security begins almost exactly 2 years ago, on May 1st, 2010. Hi.
Hi.
So first, could you just give us a brief rundown of what happened to you on May 1st, 2 years ago?
Okay, sure. On May 1st, 2 years ago, I, you know, as I normally do at the end of the school year, went home to visit my parents, and I booked a train ticket through Amtrak. And when the train got to the border, customs comes onto the train, and they do their routine inspection. They came to my seat, asked me some questions. Next thing I know, I'm being asked to go to the cafe car where they do a secondary inspection, and I was told to gather my things, and they were helpful and helped and carried my laptop for me to the cafe car. And when we got there, I was surprised to see that they ignored my clothing and my luggage and went straight for my laptop, which they turned on. They turned it around, had me put in my password, which I did without thinking, and went straight for the pictures folder, and then proceeded to ask me questions about why I would have pictures of Hezbollah and Hamas that I had downloaded from, that I explained to them I had downloaded from newspaper articles and Google Images.
So can you just explain to us why it would make sense that you have those pictures on your computer?
Well, I'm getting a PhD in Islamic studies in the modern history of Shiites in Lebanon.
And you had told them that?
And I had told them that pretty clearly. And then the results of, you know, me telling them this and them refusing to believe this, or refusing to believe this or just accept this as an answer, I was told that they couldn't hold the train up for me and I'd have to be frisked and handcuffed and taken back to the border, to their port of entry, they call it, so I could be interrogated.
And how long did that go on for?
That went on for 3 or 4 hours. I was kept in a cell for most of that, taken out just to be questioned more extensively by customs agents, and to be fingerprinted and I think retinal scanned and all that.
Okay. So have you ever felt like being an Islamic studies student opened you up to that kind of scrutiny before? Because it seems like you were saying that they kind of made the decision to detain you to look through your laptop initially because you were an Islamic studies student.
Because I was in Islamic studies and because I've traveled in the Middle East, related, again, to my area of research. No, before this happened to me, I was naively believed that I was doing what I was allowed to do and I wouldn't really have any consequences or negative consequences of this because I'm not doing anything illegal. I'm just interested in something. I want to know more about it. I found out that actually the Middle East Studies Association recommends that people not bring their laptop, specifically for this reason. And I think, but my naivety with this really contributed to how angry I was that this happened and why, you know, I made a point of trying to get this situation rectified.
Okay. So something that I noticed in the article that CBS wrote about you and what happened to you is that in the article, they go out of their way to identify you as not being Muslim. And then the commenters on the article grabbed onto this idea that you weren't Muslim and they seemed really obsessed by it. And I thought that the implied idea is that what happened to you would have been either more okay or at least more understandable if you were Muslim, which is something that I found entirely disturbing. I was wondering what you thought about this and if your experience has changed your ideas about Islamophobia.
I would definitely say my experience has changed my ideas about Islamophobia. It's clearly more pervasive than we think. It's extending. I don't believe it's justifiable in any sense. And the fact that it's extending by association, anyone associated just by interest, however tenuous your connection is, can now become a victim of Islamophobia. And that my experience, exactly as you say, that people are enraged by my experience, about my experience because I'm not Muslim, is equally depressing to me. And I think, it really speaks to how problematic, popular ideas about Islam are right now and how screwed we really all are if this isn't even a low level of racism. This is extremely racist and prejudice against one of the most numerous religions in the world.
Okay. So let's talk about your case with the ACLU suing Janet Napolitano, which came directly out of what happened at the border 2 years ago. How did you come to the decision to sue the Department of Homeland Security?
Well, it wasn't so much as the decision, just as the reaction, logical reaction to what happened to me. After this happened, I immediately knew I was going to have to do something about this, not just to get my laptop back. So, I spent the next day writing everything I could remember about the experience, the names of everyone I dealt with, what they asked me, all that, just so the event happened on a Saturday. I wrote this on a Sunday, just so on Monday when I started calling people, I would have fresh information at hand that I could tell them and give to them. I called my state senator, my congressman, the U.S. senator. I started calling, civil liberties groups, and the fruits of all this was that I got a meeting with the ACLU, who, at the meeting, I told them, if you help me get my laptop back, I will help you in anything else you want to do with my case. And again, this wasn't a decision, it just seemed, I don't want this to happen again. And it's just so obviously unjust. I just feel like this is what I got to do.
And eventually you did get your laptop back.
Yeah, with the help of the ACLU, I got my laptop back. The ACLU sent a letter on a Monday, overnighted it. On the Tuesday morning, I got a phone call from the border asking where I could get my laptop sent.
Okay, so I'm just kind of going to give a brief resume of what the case is about. Mm-hmm. It's contesting the constitutionality of border searches of electronics, which is currently permitted in a completely carte blanche kind of way, where border agents are allowed to search laptops and any other electronic devices you might have on you at the border, the same way that they'd look through anything else in your suitcase or that you might have on you, and without a requirement that they have a reasonable cause for suspicion to search you. So the government argues that restricting border searches of electronics would be a restriction of the country's sovereignty, and that, therefore, the Fourth Amendment, which is the amendment that protects against unreasonable searches and seizures, isn't applicable. So my questions for you were, why do you think that searches of electronics at the border should be held to this different standard than a different standard from other kinds of searches? And also, do you think that the border agents would have detained you without the information they got off your computer?
Regard to your last question, I would say no. I had crossed, and that's not necessarily a bad thing. I had crossed the border dozens of times. There was nothing different with me this time. It was specifically this access to this information without them having any ability to correlate it to reality, mm-hmm. Or reality outside their own construction. Mm-hmm. And regarding to why I believe that there's a difference, there's clearly a difference between searching the ordinary thing someone brings on any trip and searching a laptop which contains an infinitely larger amount of information, but also gives you access to more information in the future. If you have a password saved on your laptop, they confiscate your laptop and copy it. They now have a copy of all the passwords saved. It's more information that they're ever going to have any fruitful use for at the border. And it's just a waste of resources. I mean, one of the other things that's infuriated me about this is how much time and effort has been spent focusing on me for no reason. And obviously they're not supposed to take people's word for it, but I think that they would be able to discern what is like a truthful justification for something. Everything I told them was the truth, and the truth didn't matter. So clearly, looking for more information isn't going to matter either in the laptop. Mm-hmm.
So for me, what was most infuriating in learning about what happened to you was the fact that they made the judgment to detain you initially based on the fact that you're in Islamic studies, and then after that, based on the fact that you had these files that are entirely appropriate to an Islamic studies student on your computer. Although the kind of focus of the ACLU case, and I understand what is completely infuriating for you as a person, is the fact that they had access to your computer and therefore all of the electronic files that you had on it. So I was wondering whether you think that the fact that they detained you in the first place based on the Islamic studies, the fact that you're an Islamic studies student, whether that's kind of in any way justifiable because the ACLU case kind of like completely puts that to the side. And do you think that it would have been more okay in some way, more understandable maybe, if they had detained you based on information they had about books that you had on you or something like that?
Well, I've already had minor trouble based on books. I carried Arabic material once, and I was told not to carry Arabic material, which I found infuriating. I agree with you in terms of being infuriated equally as about the idea that this happened to be based on what I'm interested in. Just to show you as an example of the extent to which this is not something I'm hiding, it says on my student visa, my area of study is Islamic studies. So I'm doing something legal. I'm doing it at a prestigious university globally. I would think that telling them I'm going to this school, that it's on my visa, that this is all part of clearly part of a broader just interest and aspect of my life, that it would, that they would see that I'm not a terrorist.
Right. Okay. So the kind of layman's rebuttal to your case, which I've seen coming from a lot of commenters on the news media, of which there are many, is that the American government should do anything in its power to protect against terrorism, and that citizens with nothing to hide should willingly, happily submit to searches because they know that in the end it's in the best interest of the security of the American people. How would you respond to this? And do you think it's necessary to make this choice between being free and being safe, as the ACLU kind of puts it that way?
It's absolutely not necessary to make this choice between freedom and safety. I would just be very afraid to live under a government that these people run. It's really what I'd have to say. It's really not about not having anything to hide. It's about the dignity of the thing. I think for the sake of national security, we shouldn't be victimized by the nation that's supposed to protect us. It's the unprecedented access to my personal life that no one has had access to that has been given to the government through their having copied not just my laptop, but my external hard drive, which was an archive of my laptop. So it's just so illogical to think that this is justifiable or an acceptable way of policing the border. I don't think it's worthy of a real response.
Okay. So what is the status of the ACLU case now?
As of right now, we are waiting on the judge's decision on the government's motion to dismiss. So we filed this constitutional challenge. It's not about money, just about the constitutionality of this policy. And the government's immediate response was to reject the case, to have the case thrown out based on the fact that the law is the law and certain constitutional rights do not apply at the border. There was a recent case in Massachusetts where the government tried to throw out a similar case and the judge refused. So we're hoping that will benefit our case.
Okay. And I was wondering if the whole experience has changed your view of the U.S. government or of America or even Americans at all?
I wouldn't say Americans. Of the U.S. government, I would say what happened to me was something I imagine would happen under George Bush. So it was kind of shocking to see that this happened not only under Obama, but because of policies that Obama specifically implemented and kind of bolstered in his on top of powers that George Bush had given to the at the border. So really, I was just kind of shocked at the continuity of this thing, and that really, as citizens, we do have to assert ourselves against the government intrusion into our lives.
So would you say you've kind of become disillusioned with Obama as a result?
Oh, very much so.
Okay. And just a final question. What's it like for you to cross the border now?
Very stressful. I know people at the border now. I'm familiar with the process. Something I never thought I would care about enough to know about. And it's just a strange mix of boredom and anxiety and frustration.
Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you.